Hello and a very warm welcome to Code Bites, sponsored by Search 5.0. I'm your host, Stephen Turkington, and on today's episode, we're very pleased to welcome Simon Gray, who's a Senior Software Engineering Manager at ESW. Code Bites was formed to create an accessible pool of mentors. Still to this day, we see plenty of aspiring technologists without that go-to person within their career. This is a brilliant episode where we unpack Simon's own journey, including how taking a sideward step has actually propelled his career. We delve into the vast amount of opportunities we now currently have in technology and how ESW continues to invest in the latest and cutting edge. We discuss talent and retention and much, much more. I hope you enjoy this conversation. Simon, a very warm welcome to Code Bites.
Yes, Stephen, thanks for having me along. Glad to be here.
Really excited to have you on, Simon. I know there's a couple of great takeaways here for our listeners based on your experience. So I guess without further ado, Simon, I'd love for you to give us an overview as to what got you into technology and your career to where you are today.
Yeah, so I'd say probably I would have taken the very conventional route into IT and software. Doing ICT at school, at GCSE and A-level rules. We were sort of building very basic things, static web pages, access databases, but solving business problems, like your order management system, and things like that. So I worked in a petrol station at the time where we had this manual process of booking out videos. So then we did that as part of an ICT project.
Oh.
So that was building systems to fix proper business problems. So it got me interested in that. So I did my ICT at school, went on and did my degree at the University of Ulster out at Jordanstown, Computing Science. Probably didn't enjoy the first 2 years of that. It wasn't probably until I did my year out at Allstate or Northbrook Technology, as it was back then, that I sort of realised that it was software and IT that I definitely wanted to pursue. That sort of team dynamic, working with the team, day in, day out in projects, is something that I really enjoyed. So then that made my final year a lot easier to come back to. From my degree then, I went on to work at Liberty IT, went through there through the ranks from an associate to an engineer to a senior. I really enjoyed my time at Liberty. They were really good at equipping all of their team members, both on the technical side of things, but also on the soft side. So we got a lot of good training on stakeholder management, working with other teams, working with customers. So as I said, I really enjoyed my time there. From Liberty then, I went on to PwC. It was my first formal line management role, where I went in there and was responsible for a small team of developers working on internal projects. Learned a lot from that role. As I said, it was my first first formal line management sort of role. Learned a lot about managing different people, different personalities, even different motivations. So I learned a lot from that. The next couple of roles then, I guess you could say, was probably a bit of a sidestep role. Went back sort of to being a senior engineer across a couple of companies. Just at that time, professionally and also personally with having a young family, I sort of made that sidestep role sort of professionally because I wanted to get closer to technology again. I just felt I wanted to get back to writing a bit more code before I could progress again. One of those roles actually was ESW, where I went back as a senior engineer. Really liked the guys when I met them, really liked their technology that they were using and the work that they were doing. So I went in there as a senior engineer, probably for about a year, 18 months, and then again was able to use my skills from previous roles to sort of move into that engineering manager role, where you're responsible for one Scrum team in the organization, sort of working on features, working with a product owner. And then from there, progressed up to senior engineering manager, where I'm responsible for four Scrum teams within our logistics domain. And again, my role there today is I work now with our product manager, who incidentally was the product owner I was the engineering manager and he was the product owner. Oh. And I was the product manager and senior engineering manager. So we spend a lot of time working on our roadmap, both on our product roadmap, on our sort of engineering and architectural roadmap, and sort of making sure that our four teams are all aligned, sort of working towards our roadmap for the logistics domain.
Wow, brilliant, brilliant overview, Simon. I'm sure we'll touch upon it, but I love the fact that you made a sideways move in your career
Yeah.
to elevate you. And also, probably a large amount of our growing audience is actually based in students in universities, Simon. So I'm really pleased that you kind of expressed that it wasn't until your placement year where you actually thought, you know
Yeah.
what, like, yeah, this is for me. So I think that's a worthy message to put
Yeah.
out there.
I sort of found a lot of the theory learning in the first 2 years of university. It sort of you could see where it applied, and then it wasn't until my year out where you could see, all right, this is sort of what we've been learning in the last number of years.
Yeah.
All falling into place and using it on
Yeah.
a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Get hands on, dirty with
Absolutely.
the code and practical, Simon. And for those that perhaps aren't aware of ESW, just want to give us a brief overview of who you are.
Yes, ESW or eShop World, as they're known, also known. We're a company with headquarters in Dublin, but we're also based in New York. And we have an office in Newry, obviously, and an office now in Madrid. E-commerce company, probably started around 2010, and we sort of offer e-commerce and logistics solutions to large retailers. So everything from checkout, to pricing and payment plan or payment technologies, and then in the logistics where I work, which is everything post checkout, so packaging, labeling, returns, integrations with carriers. That's what we do. And as I said, in the Newry team, we're probably mostly part of that fulfillment part of the ESW company. So we have, as I said, we have forward logistics, which is my area, which is logistics going out to the customer. We have return logistics, which is a coming back, and we also have order teams, which is it's work with the order management, and then we have trade compliance, which sort of works with the sort of duties and taxes, the import processes, and
Which
they're
is
all
ever evolving.
absolutely every one of those. You wouldn't believe the size of the industries behind these, and probably I didn't appreciate it until I started working in the ESW, the amount of technology and processes behind your package. So even your label, the amount of different people that have probably worked to get that label on the box. So now whenever my Amazon and my DHL packages arrive, I'm sort of always keen to look at the labels and see what's on them. Very nerdy.
100%.
Very nerdy of me, but it's I do find it very interesting.
Do you know what? And last time we had met, actually, I couldn't believe just the extent of time put in, like even like the rebate aspect of it all, and just like it's a year and a half to 2 years. And sort of outside of tech, you kind of take it for granted. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think we're impatient, but to actually kind of get under the skin and understand the complexities to make that happen, like, yeah, it's super cool, Simon. So obviously, like, listen, great, great career. Couple of really good companies there in different size of organizations. I'm keen to learn, Simon, if you were to reflect back on your career to date, has there been a defining moment for you that sticks out?
So back in my Liberty days, we were working on a large scale project to implement an SAP general ledger with our parent company, Liberty Mutual. Sort of massive project working with business divisions across the globe, working with multiple technology teams in Belfast and in the States, in Boston and Portsmouth, and also with KPMG, who are helping us to implement this new general ledger. As I said, it was a massive project. So each member of the team, we all got assigned like mini projects, and I got to own sort of two of these projects. Probably back, sort of say this was back whenever I was an engineer, so probably 3 to 4 years experience. So this is my first sort of opportunity to sort of own sort of small pieces of work, nice small chunks of work in the grand scheme of things, but it was my first opportunity to do that. Just owning some sort of data feeds that came from SAP and went through to the Liberty Mutual systems. I was lucky to have a manager at the time who was happy to let me sort of run with it by myself. He was able to let me meet with the business teams and meet with KPMG sort of by myself. And I sort of really enjoyed that opportunity to do that. Probably in terms of defining moment in that project, there were a few issues just with data feeds, and these issues rumbled on for months. I'll not bore you with the details, but anyone who's worked in finance will know that if your balances aren't right at the end of the month, it's a massive issue. So yeah, a lot of back and forth. So I had to go off and sort of go through all the finer details of this to find out where the issues lay, and then had to sort of come back and present this back to KPMG. So very nervous sort of setting for me to go back in to tell the sort of consultants with 15 years experience sort of what was wrong with their system. But yeah, I managed to present that back, learned a lot from that. Like, obviously, if you're going to convince somebody, you need to come with the evidence to back it up and sort of present it in a manner that sort of lays out all the facts. Did that, obviously, we managed to resolve the issue, but the big part of that gave me confidence was knowing that if I was able to sort of research and get my head around it, that I understood the business, the business knowledge, the domain knowledge, and it all started making sense to me. And that I was able to sort of go into a room with senior accountants and some of these consultants and be able to have meaningful conversations with them. And I guess it gave me the confidence to know that, yeah, if I take the time to look into investigate the sort of field that I'm working in, I can sort of understand it. And I've taken that with me in all my roles since, because I've worked in forensics and PwC, I've worked in insurance, and then even in ESW, I've worked across various business divisions with a lot of complex business knowledge and sort of domain knowledge that's required. And that sort of gave me a lot of confidence to know that I can sort of understand these. And again, it's helped me to see the business value of a lot of processes. So if we go back to the example with Liberty, it wasn't just a data feed out to a system. There was a senior accountant or a team of accountants on the other side who were relying on this data. So bad data meant for them, they were spending hours trying to chase figures at month end. So as I said, from that, yeah, it's really given me the insight into the business value of a lot of our applications that we write and maintain. And I've taken that through with me right through to today.
Brilliant, Simon, and that probably propelled your career. Probably tenfold having that holistic overview of the business model and stakeholder management, because it can be daunting. Anybody with 4 years' experience, all of a sudden, there you go, there's a situation, go fix it and go communicate it, more importantly, to the end users. And so that leads us on nicely, Simon, to the power of mentorship. And I'm keen to learn, what does mentorship mean for you, Simon? How important is one in one's career?
Yeah, I think it's very important in terms of career development. I think probably if we look back and we think of the good mentors we've had in the past that have helped our career, both technically and but also in other sort of soft skills, communication, stakeholder management, and I think that helps us progress. We also talk about building out high performing teams. I think part of that is will come down to how we grow and progress our team members in that. In terms of sort of software, there's probably a couple of different strands of how we can do mentoring. We could do the sort of more formal part, which is one-to-ones with your line manager, objective setting, where your line manager or a senior developer might sort of push yourselves on to work at the next level. And then we also have the informal side of things, which is working within your team, sort of watching PRs, watching how other senior devs do that. You might have coding standards that are good to follow. Other simple things like even just seeing how a senior developer on your team might come back a week later and put in a PR to tidy up that bit of tech debt that he's left. Things like that, I find are mentoring, maybe even without the person doing it that's known. It could be given advice or feedback on things like cloud design, or as I said, coding standards, or even troubleshooting problems. Here's how I normally would troubleshoot this performance issue, sort of where to look. And I think a lot of that is all mentoring, both formally and informally. Within ESW, we sort of have the framework that sort of helps promote that. So we use Scaled Agile within our company, or SAFe as it's known. So it's pretty much 10 to 12 weeks of program increments. And within that framework, we have system demos, and we have sort of, we build out features that require solution designs. So within our system demos, some of the objectives I would set to some of our sort of associate or engineers is that they're presented a system demo. Both, I can start off presenting to your team as part of a sprint review, and then progress that through to presenting at a system demo, which is to the wider department or the wider company. So that's how I try to get some of our into our formal objectives. And then again, same with solution designs. We start off with our newer developers just being involved in the solution design process. So we have Amigo sessions where we have these discussions of design. We maybe have architecture discussions, and then we have the formal solution design document. So what I try to do is trying to get all our developers involved at all stages. At the beginning, it might just be sitting in the meetings and maybe help out with a solution design document, maybe help out in a small section of that. And then as we progress, and where we are now, I guess, is where we have most developers in our teams assisting with creating solution designs.
Wow, brilliant environment there, Simon. And I guess probably a lot of it from a technical standpoint, it seems like there's really good processes and procedures put in play. How important is it for the face-to-face interaction when you're going through this kind of mentorship processes which you've embedded? Because obviously we're seeing, we still have the debate between remote and hybrid. Like, yes, there's a push for more kind of face-to-face and hybrid working, especially since September last year. But with what you kind of got cultivated there, how important is it for the face-to-face time?
Yeah, but say that the face-to-face is definitely beneficial. Obviously, you can sort of have the conversations with people and sort of read body language better. Having said that, though, we still have remotely distributed teams. So one of our teams, we have developers in down in Dublin, in Newry, in Romania, and Kyiv. So that's always going to be remote. So I guess it's about trying to create that culture. The within that within those types of teams to sort of replace the face-to-face. So one thing we tried to do then was we have like dev sync ups on a Friday morning, which is to try and replicate those water cooler chats where the devs could come in and just say, here's something I found, here's what I've been working on, or can anyone solve this random problem that we're having? Or some weeks we have nothing to discuss, and then we discuss movies, football. I got so because it certainly during COVID that was the part that we and I felt we missed out on. And even today when we're still having our remote meetings, people dial in and then leave the meeting. It's all very official. So we definitely I would say that face-to-face aspect is still very important, but if you're not able to do that face-to-face, I think it's really important to try and replicate that somewhere. And what we have found it is the sort of dev sync ups is what we have tried to do. Just that informal. We don't even have an agenda. It's just a case of does anyone want to present anything today? Or what's been bugging people this week? Or for example, here's a new feature I found in ReSharper that might be useful.
Love that dev sync ups. Great analogy. Simon, I'm keen to learn, what do you see as the greatest opportunity in the industry today?
I think probably the breadth now of our industry is the greatest opportunity. If I think back to whenever I first became whatever as an associate engineer, you pretty much had a developer, maybe a DBA, business analyst, project manager, and then maybe the some of the infrastructure guys. Whereas now what we're seeing is the number of roles that have come through the industry in the last 5 years, 10 years are massive. So like roles with data science, roles in cybersecurity, even just cloud itself has its own types of roles with architects, DevOps especially. We have a massive DevOps culture and team within ESW. And to give an example then of a new role that I've started working with recently, I know they've been around probably for a couple of years, but a site reliability engineer. All these different types of roles, just with different characteristics, guess with different skills and different progression paths as well. And I think even that within the software, the engineer side of things, we even have like principal engineers now too, who sort of they work on a department level and are there to sort of seek improvements in our code as well. So I think the breadth of our industry is a real skill. I have several friends who work in law and accountancy, and whenever I say to them that like we're working with stuff now that didn't even exist 5 years ago, it sort of astounds them that how modern our industry is.
Yeah, it's such an exciting time, isn't it, for anybody getting into the industry? And especially if we look at the Assured Skills Academies here, which we're seeing, Simon, there's just so many different options tailored to somebody, because somebody mightn't just enjoy coding, that's absolutely fine. There's lots out there, and I think it's just to encourage to try them until the right thing just sticks, and then just run with it now. But yeah, absolutely love that. Simon, I'm keen to learn, what's the best advice that you could give to any aspiring technologist in today's world?
I think you covered it there in your last statement, really. There's lots out there, and if you're not enjoying one aspect of our industry, well, then there's definitely different things out there. So, like maybe in the past, I've worked with people who have tried the technical side of things, didn't quite enjoy that, and maybe then moved into more product roles where they found themselves more comfortable with designing and working closer to our business partners, maybe even designing like UX side of things. And I would think probably from personal experience, it's okay to sort of move on to sort of try and find something that you do enjoy. As I said, I wanted to move on several years ago to get closer to technology, and that was my motivation for that. It mightn't feel at the time, because maybe sometimes we have this thing in our heads where we need to be progressing, and I think sometimes that sideward steps works out just as well. And I would definitely agree with that.
I think that's such an important message to put out there, Simon. And from my end, I've kind of spoken to a couple of people who were at a kind of a management, kind of senior management option, but felt been there for quite a long period of time, and through different circumstances found themselves available in the marketplace and wanted to get a bit more kind of comfortable and hands-on technically with the code and stuff like that. And it's all about perception and, taking that sidewards move. It doesn't always have to go up, it doesn't have to, a sidewards move can be just as effective. More importantly, stimulate your passion, and obviously you're a perfect example, Simon, of ESW, and where you've got to. So I love that message. So Simon, listen, really great conversation, as I knew it would be. We always kind of wrap up by asking the question, what book or audio has had a profound impact on your career and why?
Probably if I think back through it, there hasn't been one book in particular to cover my whole career, but I go through various stages. Back when I was probably a developer, probably the likes of some of the podcasts and LinkedIn, like the .NET Rocks podcast or the Hansel Minutes that I read earlier on. Probably if we're talking about the book more recently, it's probably been this one. Oh, I don't know if you can make that out. The Manager's Path. Manager's Path by Camille Fournier. I got that when I moved into my sort of first engineering manager role a number of years ago. Like if I flick through it, it covers things, the various journey. So it starts off with mentoring to moving into being a tech lead, moving into being a manager who manages people. And then there's sections even for managing teams and then managing managers. So it covers a lot of the journey of a manager in the software engineering industry. And the odd time I still find myself going back in just to read up on a couple of sections. If anything, just for a sort of reassurance sometimes myself that is the right way to do things.
Percent. Absolutely love that, Simon. And do you know what? I know there's going to be a portion of our listeners probably embarking on that similar journey to a leadership role. So we'll definitely plug that manager's path
Yeah,
in
the
the show
manager's
notes.
path. And then there's another one. There's the manager's guide email. But I signed up to like a mailing list, and every I think maybe once or twice a week you'll get emails through. And I find they're sort of very useful because when you're sitting at your desk, you can take those 5 or 10 minutes with a coffee to read through them. So the latest one I was reading was maybe how to a high performing team, where they had three sections to it, and short 5 to 10 minute reads as well.
Okay.
Sort of get straight to the point. So I find those types of things very interesting too. And again, lots of resources on LinkedIn as well, I find.
Such
Lots
a good
of
platform, isn't it?
yeah absolutely lots of good people on there with interesting topics.
For sure. Brilliant, Simon. Simon, if people want to find out a bit more about yourself or the great work of ESW, how and where could they go about doing this?
Probably LinkedIn. I'm not good on the social media side of things, so I'm not so you can find me on LinkedIn. And ESWS, we also have our page on LinkedIn as well, and you can sort of follow us on there. We do share quite a lot of sort of industry topics as well, about e-commerce and about trends, even shopper trends. With some good stuff on there, but yeah, probably LinkedIn is the best place to find me.
Brilliant. Simon, I'll be able to plug that as well with our show notes. Simon, this has been an absolute wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for coming on.
Okay, no problem at all. Thanks very much for having me, Stephen. It's been great to chat.
Cheers, Simon.
All right.
Simon, brilliant. Love that. Love that.
Okay.